This morning, if you'll turn in your Bible to the book of Luke, 12th chapter of the book of Luke, verse 32. One verse, a most glorious verse. And this is one of those verses, if you'll keep this in your mind.
What chapter?
Luke chapter 12. If you keep this verse in your mind, verse 32. And I've titled this, the title of the message, Little Flock. And Jesus himself said, fear not. That's to you and I. As a preacher, as a child of God, you can parse this verse, and almost every word in this verse is a message. Fear not. He's telling you and I to fear not. That's a great way to go through life, and especially in light of the times that we're in. Fear not. And then he says something very interesting. Little flock. Little flock. We're a little flock. And he doesn't say big flock. He says little flock. You say few. Few. For it is your Father's, listen, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you, little flock, the kingdom. That's a jaw-dropping statement. If you're a child of God, it's unbelievable, you see. Now, with that said, let me expound that those, and this is very important, those who can fall are none of his. And there are people, there are whole denominations built on the premise that you can fall. And they call, man, I came up through the denominational ranks and it was always, well, what happened to brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so? You remember? Oh, he's backslid. He's what? He's backslid. Well, what does that mean? He's backslid. You see, there are basically two covenants, and these two covenants bear this thing out. And that's the difference between the little flock and the sheep and the goats. None. Now, hear me. None may fall in Christ. And that because their foundation is immutable. You familiar with the word immutable? Unchanging. Okay? It's immutable. If your foundation is not immutable, then you've built the foundation on sand, or, as the Bible speaks, an unsure foundation. And I'd easily state that the absolute majority in religion today are just like the first Adam. You have to understand, these two covenants are the first Adam and the second Adam. Immutable and mutable. And most I've met are just like the first Adam. Mutable, liable to change. They're liable to change. The elect of God, those that have been... I'm not talking about pre-conversion, because I was lost, but God found me. But the elect, those that have been born again of the Spirit of God, are immutable. They are sealed, listen, sealed in redemption. Else Christ would have to die more than once. Yeah. It's like, how many times do I have to die for you, boy? You see? Sealed in redemption, once and for all. In Christ. Those that be in Christ, perfect. Perfect grace. And I say to you once again, they cannot fall. And I've had men for almost 40 years. Preacher, you better watch what you say in there. Preacher, you better watch what you say in there. No, sir. Because I've already fallen. I won't touch that stove again. Do you see? I say again, cannot fall. Else it be not Christ's perfect grace. It be not Christ's perfect redemption. It be not Christ's perfect sacrifice. It be not Christ's perfect blood. And if my grace were thus, if it was conditional, I'd be of all men most miserable. And I've known men like that. I've been in works that were just like that, and they're always having to do something. They're either trying to get saved, or trying to stay saved, or trying to keep somebody else doing something or other. Always. And I never understood that thing. That thing was always a great trouble to me. You see, as the first Adam, as the children of Israel, they were under the law. How many times did they fall? Good grief. We were talking about it last night. I'll call it I know it's the Red Sea, but we're from Texas. They didn't get to the Red River. And there they are worshiping. God did all these things, these great things, and delivers them out of the land of Egypt. And the next thing you know, they're bound down to a piece of gold, a gold cow. How ridiculous. You see? Under the law. Who's the law for? We've preached this. Sinners. Are you still a sinner? Well, you need to get saved. You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Don't you see? The word is mutable. Changeable. Are sinners mutable? Oh. What did James say? Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Any wonder Paul says to the Galatians, you remember? He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I'm just marveling at it. What did I labor in vain? You see? And then he calls it something very interesting. We didn't turn there, but you can look up. He called the Jews' religion. The Jews' religion. They have the Jews' religion. It's sort of like the Amish religion. We're very familiar with that. We've had dealings with those people, see? The Jews' religion, another gospel, a covenant of works, a covenant of law, mutable, changeable. In the book of Malachi, he even speaks of, he said that you're partial in the law. You're partial in the law. And I don't mean like he does mean it two ways. You're given towards the law and you're part. In other words, this is what happens when you start doing law. And we're seeing it before our eyes in our country and in our government. And you'll see it in men. You'll see it in business. You'll see it in dealings with men. They're partial. In other words, the thing with the president. He's on this fellow Trump because they found these classified documents. Well, now he's got classified. Well, that law applies to you. It doesn't apply to me. That's partial. You see? It's a partial thing. Almost the entire book of Galatians deals with such. Children of the flesh. Remember? Children of the promise. Okay? Ishmael. Isaac. Children of the flesh. Children of the promise, you see? The Jerusalem, which now is, it's over there. We could go over there, get our passport, George. We'd go over there. Okay? It's here. The Jerusalem, which now is, and the Jerusalem, which is above, up there. You see? And God calls it, listen, bond or free. I always ask men, you know, and Roy and I, if you've ever been in the automobile business, I'm going to tell you something. You work for a dealership, you're in bondage. I had talked to a fellow this week, and I had a banking question, and he was in customer service for this bank, and he was a fellow up in Arkansas, and I hadn't talked to him 5 minutes, and I said, you were in the car business. He said, yes, sir, I was. I said, you were an F&I man. He goes, yes, sir, for 11 years. I knew it from his voice, from hearing him. And I said, why? Because F&I makes a whole lot of money in the car business. It's one of the most, I've seen F&I men make more than the owners of the dealership. Selling finance and insurance. Why did you leave? He said, the time. He was in bondage, bell to bell. So are you a free man are you in bondage? Well, the same thing applies in religion, you see. Those in grace and those that are in Christ, you see. Those that are in Christ stand, those that are in Christ stand immutable and steadfast. Or else Christ be not the captain. And what did the captain say? Fear not, little flock. What a glorious thing. Fear not, little flock. You know, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, for if Abraham, the friend of God, were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He can glory, but he can't glory before God. Right, James? Hey, there you go. You see? Romans chapter 7. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? One of the most controversial chapters in all of Scripture is Romans chapter 7. And I've watched men argue over it. I've read men's arguments over it time after time again. Is he mutable? Basically, that's the argument. Is he mutable or is he immutable? You see? Paul said, from the body of this death. To me, he says, from this law. Because this law says, I'm a sinner. And he's even said, he said, sin revived and what? I died. You see? The revelation of grace justifies and makes clear the whole of Romans 7. And it's clearly Paul's transition from law to grace, from the Jews' religion to Christ. You see? And he summed up that Jews' religion in one chapter. And then he called it in Galatians another gospel. He said, boys, this is another gospel. And I believe almost the entire world denominations errs right there. And boy, I went through my share. Roy has been through his share. These denominations. This transition from law to grace. From the Jews' religion to Christianity. And the few that do decry the law in such a manner, because the law is holy and it's righteous, but that's a different message. Has to do with grace. And they'll use that thing, and I've seen churches like that also, and they'll use that thing as a license to sin. Well, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. You know why they do that? Because they're mutable. They're still mutable. They're still under what it is that they say they're not under, which actually confirms the lack of God's grace in them. How shall we, little flock, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Now, Christ was that bridge, or you could say rather the lack of that bridge, that uprooted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He took that thing out of the way, and he gave right, little flock, to the tree of life. And we'll have right to that thing as far as eternal life in that heavenly Jerusalem, see? And Christ was in the same flesh, as he came in sinful flesh just like you and I, tempted in all like manner, and yet was what? Without sin. And people say, well, that's because he was God. No, it's because he was immutable. You see? Not by the law, surely. Because, listen, he kept the law. What law did he break? His whole life. Did he break one? Did he break one jot or tittle of God's law? No, he fulfilled it, actually. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. You see? He fulfilled the law and changed not one jot nor one tittle. The law is for hard hearts and sinful flesh. And that's why you have to have law. It's why we have, everybody wants to do away with the police. Well, that's not going to work. You got to have law, you see. Because everyone outside Christ possesses such. Everyone. Turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. My favorite chapter in the Word of God. Verse 3. Look at the first sentence. For what the law could not do. Do you see it? For what the law could not do. And then he tells us he's sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh. And he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, look down at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in who?
Us.
In us. Do you see that? I've told you before, I went shouting, I think it's in Romans chapter 2. Melissa remembers the moment when I went shouting through the house, I am the law. You remember that? I am the law. Glory to God, I am the law. The righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us who what walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye, he said, ye, little flock, what's the message? Little flock, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And that's the gospel right there. That's why Romans chapter 8 is my favorite chapter in all of Scripture. That's the gospel right there. How do you know that, preacher? I don't just read the book and believe it. That'd be okay. But I lived it. It happened to me. It happened to me. I was there. You see? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? You see, you got to go. The boy says he's reading Pilgrim's Progress. And Pilgrim, he didn't get any relief till he got to the cross. And what happened? His burden
fell off.
Lay my burdens down right there. Not the Jews' religion. Christ's religion. Not, oh, I'm going to start living this way. I couldn't live no way. Christ in you. And if Christ, verse 10, if Christ be in you, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Don't preach that. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ be in you, you'll not find the first new creature in the Old Testament of God. I challenge you. Because Christ hadn't been the cross. The only one way to become a new creature. Through the cross. You see. However, they pointed towards that which was to come. You remember? Corruptible seed versus incorruptible seed. Law versus grace. Flesh versus spirit. And that which was settled 2,000 years ago, still being fought in these churches. Oh, we're praying for old brothers. What happened to him? Oh, he fell. What, he fall off his ladder? That which should be finished, fought on and on. You've heard me mention many times the church that we were all familiar with. Roy spent several years. We spent many years associated. Brother James is with the great, what was it called? Mission Tabernacle. Mission Tabernacle. And I watched that thing. I watched a similar circumstance at the Roloff homes and others. And a constant struggle to live this way and live this way and to live. How is it a struggle for a child of God to live holy? I'm asking you. How is that a struggle? It sure wasn't a struggle for me to sin when I was in the flesh. How is it a struggle to live holy under God if Christ be in you? And all day long, taste not, touch not, handle not. Taste not, touch not, handle not. I preached a message years ago right here in Beeville. They need to build a Louisiana Superdome to handle all the people they said got saved in Beeville. And the title of the message, I still remember the message. It had to be over 30 years ago. Where are they? Where are they? If you've been in the walk any length of time, 10, 20, 30 years, go back and just look at the number of people that have come through our midst. Where are they? You see. And the fight, they have this fight that goes on and on. Something that Christ said was finished. And that's what Paul was going through in Romans 7. He said, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. He says, I'm carnal. Romans 7. I'm carnal. Sold under sin. Amen, Paul. So were we all. Everyone. If you've never been through that struggle in Romans 7, you'll never get to Romans 8. Because he said, but I thank God. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get? But I thank God through Jesus Christ, you see. Not carnally minded in the flesh. But you are not in the flesh. You can lose a whole church preaching that. That right there. You can lose a whole church preaching that. Over in the book of Hebrews, if you turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 14. Now look at it. For by one offering, not over and over, every day, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glory to God. I am sealed, sanctified, justified, and glorified. You can read it, my favorite chapter, Romans chapter 8. You see, throughout eternity, from here on, not temporary salvation, not temporary sanctification, once and for all, he has perfected once and for all throughout eternity. And this is the promise of God. Put here, can't you shout amen? Lord, have mercy. Redeemed now, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. his child and temporary, no, forever I am.
Amen.
You see? Well, are you? You're either in the image of his son or you are not. There's no such thing as being a little pregnant, a little queer, or a little born again. You either are or you are not. So I ask you, is there still yet some condition to your salvation, to your standing with God? Or is it finished? A.W. Pink said the little flock had been given an unconditional and immutable standing in God's covenant, God's counsels, God's son, and their blessing is made upon what Christ did for them. And your blessing and my blessing is made upon but one thing, what Christ did for you or did for me. Christ laid a perfect foundation, chief cornerstone. What's that, sir? That's the chief cornerstone, son. What are we to do, Daddy? Build on it. Not over there. Right here. Chief cornerstone. You see? There be no untempered mortar there. There be no broken cisterns there. There be no sand castles there. Upon the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground, sinking sand. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. One of my very, very favorite verses, my very favorite chapter, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Get that. Firstborn. Firstborn. Now, that's a privilege. Firstborn. None before. And that's why time restarted with his death, A.D. I know that it has a Latin meaning, but I call it after death. We call it after the death of Christ. After that death, you see, B.C., before Christ. Is there a B.C., a before Christ, and an A.D., after death of Christ, in your life? You see? Have you ever been born again? Baptized into his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I have two little notes here. One was, as I told you before the message began, when I was seeking to answer questions of such concerning God's sovereignty and responsibility of you and I. And I made it, I don't have a date when I made this note, but I was very grateful for it. The line between sovereignty and responsibility is Christ and what he did, not what you and I do. Boy, that says a lot. That's the difference between man's religion and God's theology. You see, that line between sovereignty and responsibility is in Christ and what he did, not what you and I do. I have a note here. It says Ezekiel chapter 46 in verse 9. But when the people of the land, oh man, This is Brother Jeff Boyd verse. This takes me back. I know the time and the place. It's as fresh in my mind and memory. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. In the Lord, you should never leave the way you came in. You shouldn't leave here this morning the way you came in. I know we have one door, but I hope you're more spiritual than that. Should never leave the way you came in. It's a type of the new birth. You come in one way and you go out another. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I made a little. I wanted to ask you something. What in your life is trivial? Man's responsibility is his nature, the footing upon which he stands before God, either mutable, liable to change, or else immutable, unable to be changed. And I can't stress the importance of that. Wrong paths, yes. Sometimes we make the wrong turn, okay? But changed? No. The first Adam mutable, the second immutable, though tempted in all like manner. I was born the first Adam. I was reborn the second. The enigma is that the only true freedom is in the immutable. The mutable is a bullet train to death and hell. The immutable is a path to eternal life. And sadly, few there be that find it. Little flock. Straight the gate, narrow the way. And this is extremely important. It sounds like such a simple verse. I said there's nothing trivial. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Amen.
Amen.
Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's your answer right there. And never, never, never get the idea that a tree can consist of both. Because he lopped those off and grafted others in. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. Never. And you go back and you remember the vine. You're grafted in Christ. What kind of... You think he's got bad fruit on that tree? You see? It's one or the other. Sheep or goat, wheat or tare. As the colored preacher said, you better watch them dogs. Fear not, little flock.